Books of the Bible. Lamentations is a book of poems written by Jeremiah after the fall of Jerusalem. They are marked by weeping, woes, and affliction. But even in sorrow, Jeremiah praises God. He proclaims God's justice, cries out to God for mercy, and confesses his faith in God. Lamentations teaches us a godly way to express sorrow and grow in the midst of loss. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Canada. She was from Canada. This is Wretched Radio. The biologist who concluded giraffes are a lot gayer than most people give them credit for. Okay, first of all, you shouldn't end a headline with a preposition. Second of all, give them credit for? Like, way to go! Woo-hoo! Have pride! Giraffes? What are they attempting to do by observing male giraffes that neck and therefore determined that they must be gay? Therefore, nature no longer testifies against what we understood to be aberrant behavior. It actually affirms it. Wonder what sort of degree you have to be a biologist. That's a lot of education to get that foolish. Speaking of foolish science, archaeologists discovered the first all-male child sacrifice in Mesoamerica. This is from Not the Bee, and this is absolutely staggering to see how moral relativism causes people to be utterly insane with their thinking. This is just absolutely staggering. They found a grave full of boys and babies, toddlers, kids, and they knew that they had been sacrificed. These were sacrificed children. Of course, you've heard those sacrifices are typically girls. This was sacrificing of little boys. So here is the conclusion. The author of the paper on the new discovery acknowledged it could be jarring to realize the remains at the site belonged to kids and that they were sacrificed. It might be jarring. It could be. Really? You can't even say it's definitively awful? Well, no, you wouldn't want to impose your 21st century morals on somebody who lived centuries ago. Quote, but we have to bear in mind, death is a completely different concept for Mesoamerican cultures. Death is not seen as a bad thing. And what scientific proof do they have for that? Zero, nada, zip. I do not know of a piece of scientific literature from that time period, or frankly, any piece of literature, even in Western civilization, that would indicate, hey, we don't care if we die, it's no big whoop to us. Everybody knows that death is an unnatural thing. This brilliant archaeologist, back then, they didn't think that death is such a bad thing, so don't judge them for sacrificing children. Quote, of course, under our perspective, it's wrong. Of course, our perspective of sacrificing babies to some deity, from our perspective, it's wrong. But back then, according to their myths and their beliefs, what they were doing was considered correct. Literally said this, so we cannot judge what they did under our modern point of view. In other words, because we are moral relativists with values that change over time, that we can't judge anybody. We can never say that anything is definitively wrong. It is absolutely all times, all places, not right. And yet this is exactly where moral relativism leads you. The fellow who wrote the study said I can't pronounce the name of the residence, Tixkakatuyab residents were really happy to hear of their link to the site. And they said they believed the findings would help them to better communicate with tourists and have open conversations about, get ready for this, equality. You see, these people who used to sacrifice their babies apparently without conscience pangs, they weren't sexist. They didn't just sacrifice girls. They sacrificed boys, too. And apparently all the tourists who give tour guides money are supposed to go, oh, wow, how advanced and civilized they were. They didn't discriminate when it came to murdering their children. Oh, they were really moral. You know, quote, you go to these archaeological places, you praise the people that built these amazing structures. And then you get out of the archaeological site and you treat indigenous people in a bad way. And now they feel this is a way to tell people, look, we're the same. So why are you excluding us from important conversations, for example, health and education, if we're the same people? I honestly didn't understand most of what that individual said. But somehow this all our attitude toward a civilization that sacrificed babies is racist. Of course it is. Early 20th century accounts. This is from a co-author of the report. This is a professor of anthropology at Harvard University. Early 20th century accounts falsely popularized lurid tales of young women and girls being sacrificed at the site. This study, conducted as a close international collaboration, let's put a scientific veneer on this to make it sound like, ooh, it's authoritative. Turns out that story on its head and reveals the deep connections between ritual sacrifice and the cycles of human death and rebirth described in sacred Maya texts. Oh, wow. They were amazing. And now we understand that killing your kids, it wasn't such a bad thing. And those people were amazing because they weren't sexist. That is where moral relativism leads, where you are untethered to anything and you will then teach and believe virtually anything. With Dr. Andrew Walker, okay, this is going to be a quiz for me. He identified, I should probably just say three because I know I can remember three. But he mentioned five ways of that humanists have put together ethics, some sort of moral system to determine right and wrong. And he identified one of the major groups as being those who would say the ends never justifies the means. Then it would be the utilitarians who would respond and say, no, the ends do justify the means. Other groups came up and they said, no, if you're going for a good goal, then it's good. What you're doing is good, even if it's bad. The virtual ethical view would be, hey, it's just you got to be you. And what you're feeling on the inside, that has to be expressed. Therefore, it's good. And I thought that just really resonates with the zeitgeist of today. So I asked Dr. Walker, it sounds to me like we should say that one of the ways that society has concocted an ethical system is the autonomous ethic. If it makes me happy. And he affirmed, yep, that's exactly it. And that's precisely, I think, what we are seeing today. The predominant ethical system in our society is autonomy. Don't judge, it's me. Keep your values off of my body. It's me. I determine what is best for me, and you can't tell me I'm wrong. Is it any wonder that our civilization is just reeling out of control? Honestly, and the consequences for this, it just... Read this report, Fox News. Gender dysphoria and eating disorders have skyrocketed since pandemic. These people got rocked by it. They spent way too much time on the internet, experiencing a social contagion. And now phobic disorders increased by 77%, led by gender dysphoria and eating disorders. That's what moral relativism brings about. Utter confusion and devastation. And that is why it was fascinating. After our time spent with Dr. Walker teaching on Christian ethics, we got into the car and he immediately said, I'm not one of those guys who typically says revival is like, oh man, just God's moving and doing something. He said, but I really think we are at a time when revival could break out, because people are feeling the sting of moral relativism. They're feeling the fruit of a worldview that is tethered in nothing foundational or authoritative, which, by the way, is really the key issue when discussing ethics and morality. Says who? By what authority? How do you know these things? That's why we should never blush to say it's the Bible. They can scoff, but at least we've got a source. What do they have? They'd say science, perhaps. They might say logic or reason, but they have no authority for making any sort of worldview conclusions. And they're feeling it, and there's a sense of lostness. And this, I agree with him, because I see this when I talk to people, when I talk to kids. They know this ain't this. Then the question for us is, will we step into that? Will we identify that, shirk from it, be intimidated by those who would ghost us or cancel us or dox us or whatever they call it? Or are we going to step into it and say, have I got some great news for you? This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Andrew Walker. He's one of 8 new voices joining this ministry later this year. Dr. Walker is the managing editor of World Opinions. He's also an associate professor of Christian Ethics and Public Theology. Earning his PhD from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Walker has written extensively on ethics, including God and the transgender debate, and liberty for all. His work addresses the pressing moral issues of our time with clarity and biblical conviction. And leaders like Dr. Walker are joining our ministry later this year to provide critical content for navigating today's darkened culture. Your support can help us bring even more voices like his to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign today. All of the details right now are available at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched.org/fellows. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the true vine. The Old Testament describes Israel as a vine planted in the desert. Jesus is the true vine, and those who trust in him are grafted in to receive life and nourishment from Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If and you're thinking, Friel, is there any good news today? The answer is, yeah, actually, there is. This is Wretched Radio. Let me introduce you to Dr. Andre von Mohl. You say, what's a Dr. Andre von Mohl? He's from the American College of Pediatrics. To the best of my knowledge, this is not a Christian organization. They recently held a press conference, and this is going to feel like a breath of fresh air.
Gender dysphoria is a diagnosis, whereas transgenderism is an ideology. The natural course of gender dysphoria is desistance by adulthood, conservatively in 85% of the cases.
In other words, it goes away.
Affirmed. Gender dysphoria carries with it the overwhelming probability of underlying mental health issues, adverse family dynamics, adverse childhood experiences, and autism spectrum disorder that usually predate the gender dysphoria itself.
Hmm.
The probability of both desistance and underlying mental health and other issues is why watchful waiting, coupled with mental health evaluation and counseling for both patient and family, was once and is increasingly again recognized as the standard of care for minors with gender dysphoria.
I appreciate that. But we, of course, as believers, would go further than that. Just because you maybe sink into that and you accept that when you become 20, 25, it's still not right to try to swap bodies. Nevertheless, this is a breath of fresh air.
Systematic literature reviews done in the United Kingdom, Sweden, Finland, and Germany show that so-called gender-affirming healthcare is out of step with the evidence base for gender dysphoric youth. Transition affirmation is not proven to be safe or effective long-term. It does not reduce suicides. It does not repair mental health issues or trauma. Minors cannot give truly informed consent. Children have developing and immature brains. Their minds change often. They are prone to risk-taking. They are vulnerable to peer pressure, and they don't grasp long-term consequences.
Sorry. Somebody in a suit and tie standing at a podium with a press conference is actually speaking what we always have known. It's a fad. It's a social contagion. These kids are confused. They need help. They're not able to make decisions like this.
Refusing to provide gender transition procedures or so-called gender-affirming healthcare is non-discriminatory and is appropriate both professionally and scientifically. Withholding unproven interventions is non-discriminatory, and gender-affirming healthcare has neither been shown to be safe nor effective nor of more help than harm. Physicians take an oath to do no harm, and gender-affirming healthcare is documented to lead to harm. There are good mental health alternatives to gender-affirming healthcare, which address underlying issues rather than dodging them. Finally, there is always a more honest way to deal with gender confusion than the chemical sterilization and surgical mutilation of healthy young bodies.
Wasn't that nice to hear? It's certainly not the, you know what, it might actually be the majority view, but wow, the peer pressure these days, if you work in an institution that is predominantly progressive and you say, hey, you know, I'm not so sure we should be doing that to little children, you're probably going to get in trouble or maybe have the FBI show up your door and intimidate you. Jimmy, did you cover that story? Kind of out there in Texas. Somebody said something publicly about the amount of surgeries that they're seeing on confused children.
Mm.
Who's there? It's the FBI. We need to talk to you about what you said. And they were apparently less than subtle with their intimidation. That's what you... So what do you think most doctors are going to say in the workplace? But that isn't necessarily what they believe. Now, sadly, a lot of them do believe it, and they do think that they are doing good. Want some more fresh air? This is Dr. Jill Simmons, same press conference.
And we have serious concerns about the physical and mental health effects of the current protocols promoted for the care of children and adolescents in the United States who express discomfort with their biological sex. This declaration was authored by the American College of Pediatricians, but really, it was developed from the expertise of hundreds of doctors, researchers, and other healthcare workers and leaders who, for years, have been sounding the alarm on the harmful protocols that continue to be promoted by the medical organizations in the United States. Despite recent revelations from the leaked WPATH files and the recent release of the final report from the CAST review, these medical organizations have not changed course. So we are calling on these medical organizations of the United States, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Endocrine Society, the Pediatric Endocrine Society, the American Medical Association, the American Psychological Association,
the American
Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, to follow the science and their European colleagues and immediately stop the promotion of social affirmation, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries for children and adolescents who experience distress over their biological sex. In our declaration, we affirm that sex is a dimorphic, innate trait defined in relation to an organism's biological role in reproduction, male and female. This genetic signature is present in every nucleated somatic cell in the body and is not altered by drugs or surgical interventions.
That's right.
Consideration of these innate differences is critical to the practice of good medicine.
Yeah, okay, sorry to get in the middle of this breath of fresh air. That if you're dealing with somebody who has what we'll say is gender confusion, maybe asking them if they realize that whatever procedure they think might help them doesn't actually alter them at the genetic level, at the cellular level. All it's going to do is mutilate your body. It's not going to actually turn you into what you're longing for.
And to the development of sound policy for children and adults alike. Medical decision-making should be based upon an individual's biological sex. It should respect biological reality and the dignity of the person by compassionately addressing the whole person. We are here defying the claims made by these medical organizations in the U.S. that those of us who are concerned are a minority and that their protocols are consensus. They are not consensus, and we are speaking in a loud, unified voice, enough.
That is awesome. Let me introduce you now to Nicole Hayes from the Christian Medical and Dental Association, who chimed in and said, yeah, we're on board with that. Well, they've actually always been on board with that. And this is what she had to say.
As the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, we affirm the biblical and biological understanding of humankind as having been created and distinctly made and male and female.
Well done.
We are pleased to sign on to the Doctors Protecting Children Declaration as ethical healthcare professionals and others who are committed to providing and ensuring compassionate, evidence-based care, which is central to how we care for our patients. Medical decision-making should respect biological reality and the dignity of the person by compassionately addressing the whole person. Anything less is disastrous for patients and for the healthcare profession and will not promote human flourishing. We urge the practice of evidence-based care for children and adolescents struggling with gender dysphoria. This does not require courage, inasmuch as it only requires acknowledging truth and a desire to help and not harm.
In other words, there are some things that are obvious, and we shouldn't be taking scalpels to perfectly healthy bodies and injecting them with something that is foreign and alien to their genetic makeup. It is nice to hear a few voices speaking common sense. So salute to the American College of Pediatrics, the Christian Medical and Dental Association. May more join their tribe. Because I do believe the only thing that is keeping the majority of doctors, this is my musing, that's keeping the majority of doctors from saying, yeah, that's not good, is simply the pressure that they feel to maintain a progressive pastiche. Otherwise, they could be fired. May more have the courage to stand up and say, I'm sorry, I took a Hippocratic oath. I'm not supposed to do harm. And this is absolutely positively doing harm. And by the way, if you've ever wondered, why is the world so confused about defining what a woman is? This is why. Because if you can clearly state a woman is a biological female, well, then the whole transgender thing falls apart. because it's biological. What was the name of the woman who was, she was testifying? Was she the one who became our Supreme Court justice? I'm not a biologist. I can't tell you what a woman is. Oh, I see. So gender is connected to biology. Indeed, it is. And maybe we can help some people. Perhaps was just seeing a book. I where did I put that? I've been wanting to read it. Oh, it maybe got lost in the shuffle. Paul Todges, good biblical counselor, wrote a book, Help My Kid Is Transgender, says that they're transgender. This is a thing. It's a social contagion. And Christian parents, I'm afraid, need to be ready to respond to it, youth groups, et cetera, and maybe just telling them, hey, you're made that way by God, and He made you that way all the way down to the cellular level. And there is no medical procedure that can change that. Now let's get you comfortable in your body. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.